Welcome to episode 5 of the Guardian Project podcast. I am your host, Andy Flory, and I am currently losing to the card heat wave because it is 96 degrees out here in Michigan. I'm actually dying.
You couldn't even say 98 degrees. Get some Lachey action in there.
Nick Lachey, right?
Touche. Threeche. Nick Lachey.
Please listen carefully.
Anyway, I'm your co-host, Brian, and I'm your Wonderwall of Blossoms.
Brian, what's your last name?
I'm not telling.
It's D-Pen.
Did it. It is. Good game. You two owed me.
And this is the podcast where we talk about all things Magic the Gathering. What do we have on the agenda today?
We're going to do some recap of, that's my shortcut for weekly recap, for Magic Fest Detroit.
Okay.
What did you do?
Well, what else are we talking about first?
I don't want to talk about that yet.
You gotta tell them all the segments. What if they wanted to fast forward to a different segment because they don't care about Magic Fest Detroit?
We're also going to talk about Commander 2019 leaks that have happened in the past week.
Like the last like hours.
Ooh, last hours. That sounds like a great movie. and then in the news, MTG was once again on Bloomberg. Was once again on Bloomberg as an article. Talking about, you know, appealing to the broader audience. And then we're also going to talk about week one of Paper Core 2020 Standard. A couple of results that were put up here from the weekend. There was a bit of controversy in the top 8 of that event, which we'll get to later. And also we're going to talk about the MTG Nexus website.
Perfect. So weekly recap. Magic Fest Detroit was last week. We were there.
Woohoo!
What'd you do?
I got my guy's cradle. We got there.
So you got... So it's your second guy's cradle.
Yeah.
Japanese guy's cradle.
Yeah. Nihongo ni.
But you said it was the easiest thing
si
to
papi.
Do. So you said you walked right up to... Wait, which vendor was it?
It was...
Was it Moose Loot?
Can I say that?
Yeah, why not?
Okay. Yeah, Moose Loot. Yeah. Walked up. The guy's like, you know, I think his name was Nathan. I don't remember his name.
Thanks,
too much,
Nathan.
But he had a great big bushy beard. I got behind that right real quick. It was very nice. Very, you know, had a southern twang and... Southern courtesy, because he just shook my hand, took my cards, and gave me the card that I wanted, and boom, I was out in 5 minutes.
Did they also give you the free Moose Loot sleeves? Because that was my favorite part.
Yeah, I was like, he's like, anything else I can help you with? I was like, can I get those sleeves? He's like, oh, yeah, sure, no problem.
Yeah, no, those sleeves were pretty cool. I took them home, and Nick was like, oh, I want to put these on the deck.
No, that's not how that works. You guys just can share money, you can't share sleeves.
We can't share sleeves?
No.
Oh, okay. I didn't...
I don't share my sleeves with Angela.
I picked up... a painter servant, which I was very excited about.
Ooh.
So I finished my Momir Vague.
Fresh off the heels of the unbanned.
Yes. I finished my Momir Vague Simic Visionary deck, and it needed painter servant because it's like one of the only decks that is using painter servant for a fair reason. It's not an infinite combo.
Yeah, you change all your creatures to green, right?
Yeah, I want everything to be green, and then I green. I use the cards like Trait Doctoring to change the second half of Momir Vague to read green as well. So then when I cast a green card, I tutor. And then when I cast a green card, I also draw a card. So
you said toot.
I did. I did. And so I got the Painter Servant, which was nice. So I was, I didn't want to buy it because we're at the highest cost for that card right now.
Correct.
And, I think it was like $14 before the unban. And then it was unbanned and it was like, haha, $45.
Yeah.
I was like, ooh, I'm not spending that money. And so I said, well, maybe there'll be a good deal. So I get there on day one and there was one for $25. And I said, I don't know if I need this. So I didn't buy it. And then I got there on day two and of course someone else had bought it. And I was like, why did I think that it would still be there? But it wasn't there. So I said, okay, well, today my goal is to get a copy of Painter Servant. But I was like, I'm not going to spend $35. I'm just not going to do this. So, well, it was actually $39. But I was really only willing to spend like $25. But I said, okay, maybe I'll go up to $35. Because, you know, when you talk yourself up, right?
Yeah.
And so
I'm worth $35.
This is worth $35. So a guy that I know actually walked by and goes, I'm trying to build the humans deck for Modern. Do you have anything? And I said, conveniently, I do, because I was going to build that deck. And then I said, you know, I don't understand Modern, and so I'm probably never going to play this. So I gave him a bunch of stuff, and he didn't have anything that I needed. So I said, well, I'll take a Liliana, the Last Hope. Well, one of the vendors was like giving out $35 for Liliana, the Last Hope. So I instantly turned it into them and then just got it, the Painter Servant, off the trading credit. So I only had to spend $4 on it. And I said,
$4?
$4 wow. I spent to get my painter's cert. I mean, granted, I traded stuff into it, but I was like, I'm not using these cards anyway. So that was my biggest win. I traded up into a painter's servant for $4.
That was quite a tale.
Right?
That was a series of fortunate events there, Lemony Snicket. I'm so proud of you.
The fact that I ran into somebody that I knew that needed humans, and I had them.
In Mark Rosewater, we trust. Is that a thing? Without him, we wouldn't have had that situation come up.
Why?
Because he created the game. He didn't, but...
He did not.
Putting misinformation out there.
Other things at Magic Fest. So it had super low attendance.
Yeah, it was at 709.
And that's...
That was day one.
I mean, do we think that's because it's... Okay, so I have still yet to draft the M20 format because I don't care for any of the cards other than Risen Reef.
Yeah, you play Risen Reef or you lose. It's like playing Return to Ravnica. You either had Pack Rat or you lose. Or if you casted Pack Rat, you won.
Thank you for bringing up the best plane there is.
You're welcome.
Ravnica.
And Ravnica, we trust.
Yes. No, I haven't played a single draft of M20. And I know that Magic Fest Detroit was limited. And I didn't, limited in more ways than one. But yep. I didn't want to play in the main event because not only is it, wasn't it, how many rounds? 18 rounds?
15 rounds. 8 and then 7 on day 2. If you made day 2.
It was a format that I kind of feel like it's, you play blue-white flyers or you play bombs or bust. I mean, I've heard Jund is okay. Is that a thing?
Don't know. I haven't drafted Jund. I've only drafted blue white or teamer elementals. Or blue green, whatever, you know.
Yeah. So they had a pretty low attendance, but there were a ton of people. There were so many people playing Commander. I don't have any stats on it, but there were a lot of people playing Commander. I lost to Infinite Combos 2 times, but I actually helped lose to the Infinite Combo 1 time. So I played I played my buddy's deck and I played Nekusar. And instead of playing how I probably should have played, I wanted to play Rhystic Study so I could draw cards because that's the best thing you can do in Magic. I played a Rhystic Study and I was just so excited to play it. I didn't realize my opponent, who was playing Tasker Control, had a Consecrated Sphinx out.
Oh.
So he would play a card and I would be like, do you want to pay one? And he goes, no. Because he draws 2.
Yeah.
I enjoyed drawing every card that I drew. But I lost to that, and then I lost to a Golos combo deck, which...
freshly out of M20, right?
Fresh out of M20. He was actually super... The kid was super nice. He wasn't a kid. He was a guy. He was really...
Wait. Was he a short guy with glasses and a hat?
He didn't have a hat when I played him.
Did he have a goatee?
No.
Oh, okay.
There was probably more than one Golos player, I assume.
Yeah, I mean, most popular commander
It was so funny because he was actually super nice, and he goes... He had a tutor, and he goes, I don't want to play Expropriate. And so he didn't grab it. We still got crushed. Oh, it was so fun. He kept bouncing Golos, and then was like, I'm gonna go ahead and pay. I'm gonna go ahead and pay. It's 6, right? 5 and 2. He's like, I'm gonna pay 6. Or is it 7? 5 and 2 or 5 and 1?
I think it's 5 and 2. I think it's 5 and 2.
Whatever it is, he activated him, and he had so much. He had the Ley Line of Anticipation. At one point, he had Omniscience. And I was like, oh, God.
Omniscience.
Omnisciences. I didn't mind losing to it, though. He was super nice, but he played Omnath better than me because he played both Omnath and Borborygmos against me when I was playing Omnath. And I never did. I didn't even get out. I got my Omnath out and didn't get another turn, which was fine, but it was insane, that deck.
I ended up playing on an event on Sunday just because I had some time to kill, and some guy got mad at me because my cards are foreign. He's like, you shouldn't play those. That's not an part of the integrity of the game.
What?
I'm like, Wizards
what deck
allows
did you play?
Hazoret.
Oh.
Hazoret Walkers. I was just going to have fun because that was the only deck that I had that didn't have cards out while I was getting them signed, you know? Because I didn't have those on me. I was playing Hazoret. I was just messing around, and he's like, what does that card do? And I explain. Thank you. I explain what they did. And he's like, you shouldn't play foreign cards. That's bad. And I go, well, it doesn't benefit me to lie to you because I get in trouble and it's not worth it for a $5 commander side event.
I don't understand it. Yeah. I mean, sometimes commander is difficult, but it's not like you're not playing commander staples in your Hazoret deck. I mean, you're playing cards that people know. You're not playing those weird cards. I mean, I'm sure you have some, but you said you're playing Hazoret Walkers, so it's Hazoret with all the red planes.
Yeah, I played the anime Chandra, and he's like, what's that do?
What? The what one?
The anime one.
The new one.
Yeah. Altart.
Yeah, the War of the Spark one.
Right. Yeah, I played that, and he's like, what does that do? And I was like, didn't even get it. It didn't even leave my fingers. That's like how fast he snapped at me. I'm like, oof. If he would have gave me a second, I would have explained.
I would have said what this card was.
Yeah. So I didn't end up winning because we got comboed out by Marin. He ended up
the red green or the I'm sorry black green
black green yeah he had he randomly tooth and nailed. We're like, oh, okay. I was like, oh, I was not expecting that. Any tooth and nail for Machias and
Triskelion.
Love it.
I played that in Patra.
Coming at you.
We also were you there when the lights went out for like a whole? It was like a minute.
I mean, it wasn't even a whole minute. I was at work in air conditioning and with the lights on.
That was really fun. I don't know what happened, but all the lights went out and
somebody turned out the lights.
Oh, is that what happened?
Yeah, because they went out in a row. So I mean, somebody was individually flicking the lights off.
I wonder if they got
suck in it, trouble. Nerds. You don't get to play anymore.
I wonder if they got in trouble. I mean, I'm sure there was an event going on at that time. There had to have been. Was it during? Mm-hmm. It had to have been during a round. Maybe it was between, and you got lucky.
Maybe.
But I remember as the lights went off, everybody was like, "Oh!" The whole crowd went crazy.
We in trouble.
There was I posted a video of it on Twitter. If you follow me at AT Flory. It was out for like literally a minute. I mean, it wasn't out for very long.
Yeah. The security guard's probably like, oh crap, I messed up.
But when they came back on, I wonder if those lights take a long time to come on because when they came back on, they were dim for a minute.
Yeah, it's like systematic probably.
It was pretty fun. So now I can say that I was at Cobo Hall in the dark.
Sounds like an apocalypse. Where were you when, you know, 0 hour happened?
It was in, was it convention hall? Was it the hall B? Is that where we're at?
Yeah.
It was in the dark. Magic in the dark.
Follow us this evening on our tale, Magic in the Dark.
Yeah, so it was fun.
Chapter one. Andy tweeted.
Hashtag tweets. So we had fun playing Commander. Speaking of Commander, it looks like there may have been a leak on the themes of the 2019 deck. So there was, it looks like there was a leak from a European distributor Blackfire.eu. And it says the themes are on keywords this year, populate, morph, flashback, and madness, which I actually like all of them.
Yeah, it's an interesting take.
Madness seems the worst of them for commander, because losing your hand is the worst thing. Unless it's got real great benefits.
You still gain value. You're casting spells for some for free, some for...
What if it had madness and flashback? I want that.
That would be rough.
Is there a card that has that already?
No.
There are some cards that have multiple keywords that... But I think that was like the Time Spiral block.
Yeah. Like Flying Indestructible is as crazy as it gets now.
I'd be happy with Populate. That's already a popular mechanic in Commander. And I know that last year there were a lot of people complaining about the fact that there weren't a significant number of value cards. There were in some decks, but there were some decks that didn't really have a whole lot. And they wanted better reprint value. So there's a lot of people that are begging for more Azusa. And I don't...
Yeah, good luck.
But she was just reprinted.
She was just reprinted and it's a $40. Like, Wizard says they don't follow the secondary market, but I think that's like...
They have to silly. To an extent.
Yeah. It's like they don't reprint Tarmogoyf four times without putting it at Mythic for a reason.
Sure. I think Populate will be extremely popular.
Huh?
That wasn't a joke. I don't know why I said it like that, but...
Because it had pop.
That happened.
Goes the weasel.
Yep. So Populate's popular. I think a lot of people would like that. I want more fogs. They're probably going to do the one that's fog with Populate on it. Which one is that?
Druid's Deliverance?
I think so.
Yeah, I think so.
Sure. That's a good card. I mean, I wonder what I'm assuming the commander will have populate on it. I assume the commander is going to have these mechanics, or all cards you have this, or something, right? I mean,
yeah. If I had to guess, I'm going to assume that flashback would be blue red of some variety.
Okay.
Madness will probably be black red.
Okay.
And then populate will be green white.
Blue? Green white.
No, they just did Bant last year.
They could do Bant again. I feel like these can't all be two. I mean, I guess they could be two color decks. I mean, all of them could be. That's fine.
I think they would want to represent each color though in the build. But
and what's morph? Hard.
Probably rug.
Yeah,
I would assume so. I mean, Animar, you know, CEDH is
rug tier. Is red, blue, and green.
No, it's rug.
I know, but not everybody knows what rug is.
Watch Aladdin, you'll know what a rug is real fast.
I can show you the word.
Shimmering, shiny.
You skipped a couple words there.
I don't care. That's all I know.
But I'm on track. I'm following.
Yeah.
Don't you dare close your eyes.
You got me.
No, I'd be happy with flashback. I like those cards a lot. There's probably some flashback cards that'll be reprinted. I could see
Lingering Souls.
Past in Flames, right? I mean, that's a good card. People
like
it.
It's been printed in Commander before. It's good in Commander.
Yeah, I mean, it does things that you would like it to do. It's not something that's super expensive today, and people would probably not be mad if it was printed again. I mean, at least you can get one. I'd be happy if the populate has, like, whenever you populate, do X.
Right.
Because there's a lot of populate support already.
Right.
So I think...
From the Ravnica blog?
The best plane.
The way to your heart, Ravnica.
It's the way to my heart.
And Tito's.
Vodka. Sponsored by Tito's Vodka. Tito's, if you're listening, call us.
Also, Howie Mandel, if you're listening. We're talking.
How's Howie?
He's
good. I haven't looked him up in a while.
He's still on AGT, as far as I know.
Madness, red, black. I hope they do something better with Madness. I mean, not just the cost. I mean, I like the cost reduction, but like maybe if it has Madness, like whenever you cast a card for its Madness cost, do something. I mean, I like those whenever you, like, I like the cards, like whenever you cycle a card, like I think Archfiend of Ifnir has the kind of, mechanic that I like. Whenever you do something like this,
right,
you get an ability.
Yeah. Like the, was it the Deathblade Elite or whatever? The one drop Jackal zombie thing that recycle or discard, he gets +3/+0.
Yeah, I like cards like that. Yeah. So maybe the Madness mechanic will have something like that.
Could see a reprint of Street Wraith. I mean, if we're going to do cycling, it's kind of on the same tier as Madness.
That'd be a good card to actually reprint. I mean, isn't that like a $5 or $6 card?
It went back up because the Death Shadow continues to be popular
in Modern.
Modern, yeah.
And then should we spec on Olivia Mobilize for War? She's all about that Madness. I mean, I guess hers is more a vampire. Well, is that Madness? No, that's just discard.
Yeah, whenever they're discarded.
I think she has whenever a vampire.
I mean,
comes
it's technically
play.
Madness without the.
It would work well with Madness cards, I guess. Yeah. So if it is red black, maybe Olivia will be a hot commodity in the future. Yeah. And then Morph is just cool. I mean, Animar's happy about Morph.
Correct. Yeah.
The Animar Morph deck is already really good.
And I built a budget version, and for a Sunday commander at the shop, this guy just mopped the floor with everybody.
With his budget version?
With his budget version, yeah.
That deck is really good.
Yeah, I know.
Speaking of budget versions, I have a couple of friends who are building budget versions of commander decks, and they want to play in a couple of weeks. So I've been using the website Archidect, which is actually really cool. So you can build your deck on there, and it tells you the price and everything. We've been trying to put them together. So I'm trying to build a commander deck for every guild in Ravnica. And so one that I don't have is Selesnya. So I'm thinking about putting together Talismir, Friend to Wolves budget. And I'm having a hard time doing it because some of those cards are legal and standard, obviously because of guilds of Ravnica.
Right.
And, but I think it'd be fun to put together, or I think it's been fun putting together those budget commander decks and trying to stay under $25. What was that budget out of curiosity for that Animar deck?
Budget was like $100.
Sure, absolutely. Yeah.
But I mean, all the I think the it's a, you know, 50 or 60 creatures in it, and I think the total cost of that was, he put a little bit more money into the land, so like some come in untapped.
But, yeah.
But the, I think if we were to do a complete budget, it would have been like $50.
Sure.
Yeah.
Let's move on to week one of Paper Core 2020 Standard. So I know you have some info on SCG Open and tour results.
Yeah, so this past weekend, there was Star City Tour Wooster in Massachusetts. I was used to call it Worcester, even though it's not right at all.
Isn't it Worcester?
No, it's Wooster.
It's Wooster?
It's Wooster.
That's really how it's pronounced?
Yeah, there's a Wooster College in Pennsylvania, I think, but it's W-O-O-S-T-E-R. But, yeah, no, they pronounce it Wooster.
Oh.
Yeah, I've been there multiple times, and they will correct you if you're not right.
Okay.
Yeah, I was like...
Did not know
that. I was like, Wooster. Okay, got it.
Hmm.
What ended up winning was Mono Red. I didn't think I would be saying that after 2020 came out with, you know, cool upgrades to stuff or new decks like Teemer Elementals, old favorites like Black White Vampires and Simic Flash. Nope, Mono Red just steamrolled everything.
And Mono Blue.
Mono Blue got second with the ever loved Ross Miriam. He's a grinder and a pro at the pro tour, or sorry, mythic championship level.
Is it does he play in that? I mean, we'll get back to the mono red deck, but is that playing like the flash flying creature? It's like a 1/1 for flash, and it has pay four. You can draw a card.
The spectral
that
sailor.
Card makes me so angry online.
Yeah, are you, have you played against a Simic Flash deck?
I have. Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Yeah,
I
that's annoying.
And I just, every time I see them holding out blue, I'm like, are they going to counter my spell? Are they going to play that stupid flying creature? It's the stupid flying creature most of the time. Anyway, so Mono Red won. What new stuff did we get for Mono Red?
New cards were actually old favorites from old variants of Mono Red, because it was reprinted in Core 2020, was Chandra Spitfire, which says if an opponent was dealt damage this turn, it gets +3/+0 until the end of turn. And then Ember Hauler, which is, I believe, two colorless and sack it. No, I'm sorry. One colorless, sacrifice to deal 2 damage to any target for double red, and it's a 2/2.
When I see a Fanatical Firebrand on turn one, I just want to cry like every game.
Right?
It's the saddest thing. But that the one that gets... Plus, is it +2/+0 whenever an opponent, or is it +3/+0?
It's +3/+0.
The number of times that I've lost to that thing where I'm like, I'm at 12. What are they going to do? Oh, they're going to do that.
Yeah, they're going to shock you twice.
It's the worst.
It is.
And I was like, oh, I have an Arboreal Grazer. You know what? He's my new favorite card because he's got reach.
And because he's a sloth.
I hated him because he had reach. And Sliggity I'm like, sloth. Thank God you have reach. Until they lightning strike him and then I just die. But I mean, that happens too.
Is he... Well, what's his stats? Is he
0/3.
Okay, so you can't shock him.
No.
So then second place was my personal favorite, which was Mono Blue, which did not see any play during War of the Spark at all.
No, it didn't. I mean, I played it. I played it through the ladder for a while, and I got up to, I think I got up to gold one, and then I just kept running into decks that were better than that.
Yeah.
But that deck is... That deck is really good. It's really annoying. I hate the turn two Curious Obsession. My God, you always have it. Always.
Yeah. And I think Ross Miriam was actually championing for it to be cut from the deck, but it's just because there's a lot of post-board, there's a lot of sideboard hate for it, but most of the time before it got cut anyway, because people would sideboard into, you know, disenchant type effects anyway. Mm-hmm. But yeah, he was new cards that he was running were Spectral Sailor, which was Ricardo were talking about earlier. That's a 1/1 for one blue, has flash, and then 3 and a blue, draw card. And then he was also playing mostly sideboard cards, Cerulean Drake. I don't remember what that does off the top of my head.
Cerulean Drake?
Yeah.
I believe that just has whenever it deals damage to a player, you can draw a card. Actually, no, I was wrong. Cerulean Drake is a flyer that has pro red and sacrifice it to counter target spell that counters you. It's a 1/1 for one and a blue. And then Aether Gust is one and a blue instant, choose target spell or permanent that's red or green. Its owner puts it on top or bottom of their library.
Okay, so it seems like he was expecting a lot of, you know, red, green. Well, Mono Red for sure. There didn't seem to be a lot of rural aggro at this.
And I haven't seen that online in a while either.
Or I guess it could also be for Teemer Elementals, because that is actually red, green. And that was day two. Actually, was six elemental decks, so pretty good sideboard card for this metagame, I think.
There were six elemental decks
for day two of Stars the Open.
That made it to top eight, or just that converted?
Converted to day two, and then there was another six mono red decks. And there's five Gruul aggro, so actually, you know.
Well, I guess there is. I mean, I guess Gruul aggro is still there. I mean, whenever I see a Paradise Druid, I just assume I'm playing against mono green or Gruul aggro. But I don't see Nissa Who Shakes the World anymore.
No.
I have not seen that online in a while.
But
maybe I'm just not good enough, and I'm not at the tier where it's being played.
Yeah, I can't remember. I think it was Esper Mass Manipulation that won the Classic. I think that was local grinder Zach Allen who won that, but I don't. All I remember it was Mass Manipulation deck. So then some new archetypes from the format, actually that emerged from 2020 was Teemer Elementals, and actually ended up getting third place. And its day two conversion was the six decks we were talking about. So this basically plays. Pretty much everything out of 2020 except for Lightning Strikes. It was three Cavalier of Thorn, four Creeping Trailblazer, four Leafkin Druid, two Living Twister. Oh, I guess Living Twister. Two Overgrown Elemental, four Risen Reef, four Lightning Strike, three Shock, four Omnath, Locus of the Royal, four Chandra, Acolyte of Flame, two Chandra Awakened Inferno, and obviously there are 24 lands.
The Chandra Awakened Inferno is pretty good, actually. I haven't lost to it yet. I'm playing Omniscience combo, so either I win before that or I don't.
Yeah.
I guess. But I never see the emblem. I guess that was silly to say that I win before it, I don't, because that means that I've seen it. But I've literally never seen it. I've either won to it or I've never played it.
Yeah. Playing on Arena, I can't counter it, so Mono Blue doesn't want to see that card resolve.
Yeah, because she has a plus. Your opponent gets an emblem whenever they, at their upkeep, they lose two life. So
deal one damage, I think.
Oh, one damage. So it becomes one, then two, then three, then okay.
But yeah, she's pretty rough. Yeah, she's. I should win by that turn that she's cast, or I should make her non. You know,
she costs six, right? Four red.
Yeah. Yeah. But yeah, this Teemer Elemental deck is actually, I think, pretty real, and the cards pretty much don't cycle out. So. The only thing that would cycle out is the Hinterland Harbors and the Rootbound Crags, but hopefully Wizards will print the, is that Allied or is that enemy?
Which is one of the colors?
It'd be red, green, and blue, green.
I think those are Allied.
Okay,
those colors like each other.
Yeah, so hopefully they reprint like appropriate lands for that in the next block there. So anyway, moving on, fourth place was actually Black White Vampires.
Yeah, I've lost that deck. I mean, when they minus three and just put a Vona in, or they put... I've been seeing people putting in the Haunt of Hightower, the 3-3 flyer. That's pretty cool on turn three.
Hopefully that doesn't shoot up in price like Nexus of Fate did.
I guess it's already kind of expensive, isn't it? I'll look it up.
It's like $8 or $10, or it was. Might be higher than that now. But yeah, four of Danto Vanguard, so whenever that card attacks, it gets indestructible.
It also gets... As long as it's your turn plus two plus oh, and I always forget that, so when it swings for three, I feel bad.
Right. And then four Champion of Dusk, four Knight of Ebon Legion, of the Ebon Legion, four Legion Lieutenant, which is the Lord, your other vampires get +1/+1, four Sky Marcher Aspirant, which is the one drop that gets flying if you have...
If you have the city... Hashtag blessed.
Two Vicious Conquistador. Is that the...
They have the whenever it attacks, your opponent loses a life.
Okay.
Each opponent. I think it's each opponent loses one life.
One Vona. Vona's a beating. That's a great commander, too.
Mm-hmm.
Two Cast Down, one Mortify, four Legions Landing, and then the rest are Planeswalkers and lands. It's two Ajani, Adversary of Tyrant, so reanimate pretty much everything in your deck.
He doesn't reanimate, right? He's the Life Gain and Vigilance. The Sorin is the reanimate.
No, Ajani, his minuses bring back something that's two or
less. Oh, I'm thinking the Great Hearted.
Yeah. And then Gideon Blackblade, which is a creature as long as it's your turn.
And it has a plus one of a creature gets either lifelink or vigilance or indestructible, but the minus six is what you want to exile a permanent that's right. Like one or more colors, which is pretty cool.
Yeah. And then four Sorin Imperius Bloodlord. That card is so annoying to play against. It is. If it resolves.
It is really annoying, but I really like that card.
Yeah, because it's Sorin?
No, just because it's a good planeswalker.
Yeah. Although I'm hoping
it's fair.
Yeah.
It's not like it's busted.
I'm hoping it's just, at least as far as monetary goes, I feel like it's just up in price because, I mean, up being, you know, like $15 or whatever it is. It's going to like, feels like Liliana Untouched by Death last year with Corset. Mm-hmm. Just no one opening it. And then there was actually a zombie shell that stuck around for a little bit.
Oh, Haunt of Hightower is like $550. So it's not expensive. Okay, I thought it was more.
I figured everything was crashing.
It has gone up in the last couple of days though by like almost $2.
Oh, okay.
But that's like nothing.
Then in the sideboard ahead, four Tocatli, Honor Guard, two Despark, four Noxious Grasp, one Vona, and then four Duress.
Noxious Grasp?
Yeah.
Grass?
Grasp.
Grasp.
What's like that you grasp do? It noxiously.
What's that one do?
I believe that's destroy target creature or planeswalker that's green or white. You gain two life.
Yeah, destroy target creature or planeswalker that's green or white. You gain one life.
One life, okay. Yeah, so I have played against this deck quite a bit on Arena.
Yeah, me too.
With mono blue. Usually it doesn't give me too much trouble as long as I have up the appropriate counterspell or protection spell, but this deck gets out of hand pretty quickly. Especially when you soar in -3.
Right.
Yeah. So that runs out the top four of the SCG Open. Now, there was a little bit of controversy in, I believe, the top four match between Aaron Barich and his or her opponent. There was an accidental use of Light Up the Stage.
With Experimental Frenzy out. So you can't cast things from your hand if Experimental Frenzy is out. And Light Up the Stage was cast. She cast Light Up the Stage with Experimental Frenzy out. It wasn't caught. A lot of people were kind of up in arms about it.
Yep.
Because they're saying she cheated and she should have gotten a game loss. And there was an investigation done. So that judges were called.
Was there a rewind? I read that on Twitter, but I'm not sure because I didn't actually watch the event.
Yeah, there's a clip. There's a clip on Twitch. You can watch of it.
Did they do a rewind of it? They went back on the actual gameplay itself?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, so you can see it. The board state was insane. There were so many lands out. Obviously, you get a little jittery when you are in the top eight. I mean, I've played Commander games before where you've been in a game for an hour. And you're about to win, and you're like, you realize your hands are shaking a little because you're like, okay, I think I can win this turn. Mm-hmm. You just get really excited about it.
Yep.
I mean, that happens when I play like FNM sometimes when you're about to go undefeated, like in your fourth round, and you're like, oh, I'm gonna win like actual prizes tonight. It's gonna be great, and you get a little nervous, and you know that happens. She was also on camera.
Yes,
and
that does play a huge factor.
And you're also supposed to play games out. Like you're not supposed to just like
I scoop. I mean, especially when it's in top four of a major event.
Right. You're supposed to play. And when you start trying to play a little faster, because you need to go through the motions, because not only like should you just do it, like you also need to actually play the game and make sure you're doing it right. I think she was just going a little fast, and that's fine. And she played a card she shouldn't have been able to play. So that the judge came and they ruled that she wasn't actively cheating, is my understanding.
Yes. Yep. Yep. But Twitter was up in arms about it on both sides.
When is Twitter not up in arms?
It doesn't even be Magic related. People who are on Twitter are just up in arms about everything.
Everything.
Everything. But, you know, there are people who are attacking her because she's a member of the, you know, transgender community. And there are people who are defending her because she was a member of the transgender community. The way I look at it is I don't think she was actively cheating. And, you know, I take her words on Twitter, you know, to heart. I don't think she tried to cheat, and it was just getting caught up in the moment of the game, and it happened.
Well, and the nice thing, I agree. I don't think she was actively cheating. I think they also came out and said, regardless of whether or not it was played wrong, she still was going to win. It did not affect the game state. It didn't affect the board state. She was going to win. I also, I mean, I think I disagree a little. I saw very little about her being trans, which was nice to see because there were a lot of awful people on Twitter who say a lot of awful things because you've got the anonymity of the internet and they don't have their real name and it's not a picture of them. And you can just create an account in 5 seconds and, you know, crap all over somebody on Twitter just because you were angry. Mm-hmm. And I didn't see a ton of that, which was nice. Most people were supportive and they were like, you played a good game. You made a mistake. I mean, the other thing is, I mean, most times, like if it was caught immediately, they would have called them over and either they would have said, well, let's back it up because it was a card you couldn't have played legally. So we're going to back it up and have you start from rewinding the cards that you've cast. I mean, that's generally, or would that have been a game loss?
No, usually it's a rewind situation, but I also don't judge
much. Is that what you meant when you did the rewind? Is that what you meant? No, I don't believe they rewound the whole thing. I think it was just investigated. By rewind, I just meant like I was saying they went back and watched.
I
cannot confirm whether or not they actually rewound the entire game back to that certain state.
Gotcha.
But I think they said regardless, it was happening.
Right.
But I did also read it was to light up the stage and not just one.
Okay. You know, no.
So if it, it happens. If you play one, you at least you consistently did it wrong with both. You know, I mean, like that's the other thing. You didn't just make the mistake on one. You consistently played them both. At least it was a consistent mistake because you were trying to play quickly. Experimental Frenzy is hard. She did mention though that in the rest of the competition, when she played Experimental Frenzy, she set her hand down and she put a die on top of it so she wouldn't touch it. Because you can't play the cards anymore, reason to even hold them or look at them anymore. You can't play them.
Correct.
So just set it down and be done with it, which she said she did.
That's good.
So, no, I don't think she actively cheated. I think she just played fast and it was a mistake. And she won regardless and she did great.
Yeah. Won the, you know, huge tournament with a deck that a lot of people thought would be dead after the set came out. So
right?
Shame on them for thinking that.
I hate playing it online, but it is still really good.
Well, yeah. I mean, you're at what's the lowest level? Is it bronze?
Bronze.
Yeah. I mean, you play it a ton, but, you know, it is what it is. You know, it's the gatekeeper of the format.
You don't play it just in bronze. You play it in bronze. You play it in silver. It in gold.
No, I understand that. It's just like, it's because it's like a five, you know, cost five gold or whatever it is.
Like your wild cards are mostly commons and uncommons.
Yeah, exactly.
It's pretty great. Yeah. Also in the news, speaking of other items that just happened.
Ooh, actual news.
Magic was in a recent Bloomberg article on July 7th. And the title of the article was Move Over Monopoly, Hasbro's next big growth engine is Magic. And so the article talks a bit about Magic Online. So they said, you know, the online incarnation is a hit. They're speaking about Arena. They said, according to the company, and the payoff could be big after the official launch later this year. So we're still in beta. It's not actually out completely.
I feel like there's a lot of games that are actually still in beta, but the full releases.
Like which ones?
Like PUBG. PUBG.
Is that beta? I thought that game was out.
It went live, but it wasn't beta for like 3 years.
Oh
yeah,
I hear you.
Yeah,
but they got to make sure there's no problems, have the right people on staff to keep it going.
I know, but when it was in beta, it was its highest, you know, like highest percentage of people playing, and then when it actually went live, people just like dumped it.
I hear you. Yeah. I don't think Arena is going to be like that, because the nice thing is that you can actually just grind it and play for free, which is great.
Oh yeah, yeah. Especially, I mean, every time I draft, I can play multiple drafts because I just flip, you know.
I wish I was as good as you.
I'm not even that good of a drafter.
Sometimes I can get like 4 wins, but you get enough gold that you're like, well, I can kind of squeak by before I'm out of gold.
Sometimes I'll just send screenshots to my friend, like, what should I pick out of this pack? And he's like this. I'm like, thanks, dude.
Thank you.
Thank you for giving me free money.
And the article continues to say that they think digital is a great way to introduce a fantastic game low barriers to entry. So there's lots of people that live in areas where they have a significant amount of time that they have to travel to go to a local game shop, LGS for short, and they just can't get in there. But you also have to pay to like draft, or generally you pay $5 to play Commander or Standard or whatever it is. You know, this one is like you can turn it on and be there in like 2 seconds, and you can play like 20 games in an hour if you're playing best of one. I mean, I play way more Standard now than I ever played before, and I'm able to play more decks now than I did before because I don't have to put together a 75 card, 60 card deck with 15 card sideboard and sleeve it up and bring it with. I can't bring 14 decks with me, but I can just click the different ones and like, I can't play this one for one more minute.
Well, who has that much time to invest in like paper Magic where they have 14 different decks, especially for a format that cycles so frequently?
Standard is the most expensive format.
Yeah, it is. It is unfortunately the introductory format. In that, but people learn sometimes too late that it can be the most expensive format just because it keeps, constantly rotating every year or so.
Yeah, it says, to date, Magic has been something you can buy in stores, mostly hobby stores, but not everyone has one in their hometown. That's why they think that, digital is the best way to introduce people to the game. Mm-hmm. And it talks about, it sounds like it's more, the gist of it is like appealing to a broader audience, getting it out there. And it ends by saying that, clearly from the writer's perspective, Arena is a product of the future for sure.
Well, yeah, I mean, the mass appeal is what is its most driving factor, and that it's low cost. Like you said, it's low barrier of entry.
Yeah. It says the classic 90s card game moves online and it promises to bring in a lot of cash, which, I don't have stats on it, and we can take a look and see, but I mean, I feel like the game is at its most popular right now.
Yeah, I mean, it's funny that a lot of major video game developers are also pushing out free-to-play like platforms, just because they can also just charge whatever they want for like loot crates, and that's how just advertising too. It's just the game sells itself sometimes.
For sure.
Yeah.
And then, I think we have, our last topic, which is, MTG Nexus. So it's a new, community focused website, for Magic the Gathering. Have you, checked it out yet? It's actually pretty cool.
Yeah, it is it's a pretty sweet website.
So I think my favorite part about it is it's all about discussion. Like they're the three like header like topics that all have like drop down selections are discuss, explore, and learn. So there's all about the community. The top sections for them are like set previews, rulings, custom cards, the storyline and lore, Magic finance, and then just like general discussions. There's a lot of forum discussion going on. I see a ton of it. There's Commander, Stand. I mean, there's a little bit of everything. And then there's tools to the game, Magic printable resources. But I think, and I haven't checked it out too much yet, but there's a land ratio calculator, which is pretty sweet. So people that have an issue trying to figure out how many lands they should play, you can put your cards into it and it tells you what you should play.
Yeah.
Or suggests it.
I was the age-old classic of using a hypergeometric calculator, which is what they use. They just simplified it by putting in your deck list because they have the Scryfall card list or card database.
Yes.
But I would just like literally Google hypergeometric, and then you could put in like what color you would, well, what number you need to reach on what turn.
Mm-hmm.
And so if you needed like double green, so you put in 2, and then it would tell you like how many sources you need to reach it by that turn.
Uh-huh.
But that is really cool that they took, like an actual hypergeometric calculator and just simplified it. It also seems they just like literally took a Annie Frank Karsten article about math and ratio and put it into like a functional database.
It's the best. Whoever did that, we love you.
Yeah. Thanks. And also, thanks Frank Karsten for being just a smart person.
Thank you, Frank Carsten. I actually really like those articles a lot. And it's like, what are the odds? I think the most recent article that I read by him, it's been a while now, was how frequently or how many cards, it was something like this, like how many cards are you going to draw when you cast Niv-Mizzet Reborn? Like if you're playing the guild cards. That was pretty cool. I like his articles about math. I don't like math, but it's pretty cool.
He did, when Guilds of Ravnica came out, he did another revisited article on 2-color and 3-color mana bases, because let's face it, it's Ravnica. You're not going to play anything less than 2 unless, you know, you're Aaron Barich and just win with a 1-color deck.
Right.
But he always, every time there's something complicated like that, like when there's Eldrazi Winter, he did a probability on, you know, how often you were going to get the, you know, nut draw of, you know, turn 1 Eye of Ugin, double Eldrazi Mimic, and then turn 2 Thought Not Seer, or even a turn 2 Reality Smasher. Like, what are the, you know, odds of that happening? So he definitely goes a long way of for the community to do that type of math.
I don't know if he had anything to do with this, but it's pretty cool. I mean, it's very helpful to a lot of people
for sure.
And I think my favorite part on the MTG Nexus website is so there's a community hub, and it has like it basically is like, it like cultivates all of the like top content producers. So there's like the Wizard of the Coast Twitter account, Channel Fireball, MTG Goldfish, and it's like the most recent posts of theirs, and it kind of like puts them there. You can just hover over it and go to the post, which is really cool. So they've got the Vorthos cast, Card Kingdom, and then Mark Rosewater's Blogatog, his Drive to Work podcast. So it's pretty cool. So go and check out MTG Nexus.
Speaking of Maro, if we could just segue for a second. Did you see that him and Josh Lee Kwai did Make-A-Wish? They played, I think, Commander with somebody who was a child who had cancer, I believe.
No, I did not
know that. Yeah, they all showed up at the hospital and played a couple games of Magic, so thought that was really nice of them.
I'll have to look that up. That sounds like a really great story.
Actually. Yeah, it was actually on their Twitter feed. So.
Oh, was it? I'll have to take a look.
Yep.
Nice. I'm sure it was probably on here, and I'm sure I just glossed over it or something. Yeah. I must have just missed it.
Go check that out, everybody at home.
And then the final item on this, the mission of MTG Nexus, it says it is the mission of MTG Nexus to uplift, celebrate, and support the entire Magic community. It's their duty to realize that the Magic community extends well beyond their website, and to support the entire community, they recognize that other sites are not their competition, but their community brethren that should be supported and partnered whenever possible. It's their responsibility to ensure the Magic community has all of the tools, resources, and opportunities that is so richly diverse. We must never stop improving, innovating, and developing to meet the needs of our users or greater community. So it's a pretty cool mission. You check out the website. It seems really great, and like it's probably going to grow pretty quickly.
Yeah, it sounds like it. I mean, it's a great website. It has a lot of different features, you know, that...
And it uses Scryfall. We love Scryfall.
Scryfall is great.
Scryfall. Yeah, no, I use that. I like their advanced filters a lot.
Scryfall is also recommended for Popper before all cards became legal for commons.
Yes. Yeah. I think that's the end of our episode.
Oh, sad.
I know.
I feel like I have so much more to talk about.
I know. Until next week. So if you want to contact us, you can find us on Twitter. You can find me at ATFlory.
And can follow me at BallermanCometh.
So take a look for us. You can look for the hashtag GuardianProjectPod to find our posts and episodes. We want to hear from you, so send along your comments and any topics you'd like us to talk about, and we will make sure to address those next week.
Talk to you later.
Thanks, everyone. Bye. How many? Wow.
Oh, I thought that you said 15. I'm like, damn.
Yeah. We're getting longer. Look at us go. Right. Did we ever have those 22 minutes?
No, but at the
beginning. We figured it was going to be short. We wanted it to be like short.